join the chorus of those who have already said it, Happy Mother's Day, so that I can say that on behalf of my wife. Happy Mother's Day. Where are you? Oh, there she is. There's, wasn't it? It's really nice. Excuse me while I adjust this thing real quick. That's a little better. Man, that wobbles all over the place. It makes a mess out of me. So, anyway, wonderful day that we have today and get to enjoy the celebration of those who have impacted our lives so often, very favorably in most cases. Obviously, I always remember on Mother's Day and Father's Day, and when we have an accentuation of individuals in some respect, we don't always have positive experience. Not all of us all have positive experiences, and I recognize that. But I also recognize that we have a God who oversees that, who overshadows that, who goes beyond that and fills in the gaps, right? And somehow makes good things out of bad things. I was praying this morning and thinking about, in my own experience, you know, for me personally, I saw a lot of gaps. Later, as I come to understand what motherhood was all about, those gaps became larger and larger in my mind. But this morning, the Lord was reminding me of how He took bad things, difficult things, and turned them around for good. And I'm reminded this morning that a lot of my ability to, you know, try to take a mess and make something out of it, try to survive in a tough situation. A lot of y'all know some of the people around here call me MacGyver because I find a way to make it happen. A lot of that came from my mom. My mom was a survivor. She learned how to make it happen and get it done, even when it was tough on her. And she had a lot of mistakes about her too, just like I do, but she had those positive things too that have impacted me. So whatever your experience may be, don't think that God can't use it. He is using it. You may not be aware of that, but He is using it. This morning, in keeping with Mother's Day, as I was telling Don this week, I was praying all week long about what to preach about. I'm not one of those guys who likes to do topical, you know, let's preach about the theme of the day. But sometimes God tells me that's what I want you to do. So I prepared early this week in Ephesians 2. I'm ready to preach a sermon out of Ephesians 2. But I'm also ready to share something else that I think God wants me to share and to talk a little bit about Mother's Day and about the impact of mothers in our lives and how God has used that in our lives intentionally. He knew exactly what He was doing. And He put together a family unit for humanity, gave us advice on how we ought to live life together, and gave us a father and a mother, and those roles were to be intentionally carried out for good. And though humanity many times has made a mess of it all, as we often do with so many things, if we would look at his good intention and what He intended for us, we will see that it would have been a good thing had we followed His advice. And so I want to just kind of give some thought to that today and think about the mothers that we see in Scripture and how God gives us an example through them. So if I was to ask you, let me just throw this out there for a minute. If I was to ask you today, who do you think are the most influential mothers in the Bible are? What would you say and why? Yeah, I asked this question down at the coffee house with the college kids and said, you know, who would you think? And Sam jumps out real quick. He didn't say hashtag. What did he say? Huh? He said, shout out to Mary. I thought that's great. Yeah. So Mary, obviously, you know, plays that role, and she had a great impact on the humanity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to God's perfect plan. So what about some other mothers that you think of in the Bible? Who's that? Timothy's mother, yeah. Remember the Scripture says that his faith was affected by his mother, and who else? His grandmother. Yeah, so it continues on. Somebody else said somebody? Sarah, that's right. Her impact on Isaac and what he would become. And, go ahead, Hannah. Hannah's one, is that what you said? Naomi, that's good. I'm going to talk about Naomi's daughter-in-law a little bit. But yeah, Naomi had such mothering impact on Ruth that when Naomi left, Ruth wanted to go. That's pretty important when you think about it. We'll come back to that. Somebody else? Elizabeth. Elizabeth, yeah. What stands out in your mind about Elizabeth? Yeah. And she was a godly woman. That's right, yeah. That's pretty cool. Who else? Anybody else?
Rahab.
Rahab, all right. So why does she stand out in your mind?
She housed the 12 spies.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. So we have the impact of godly women throughout all the Bible, right? And their impact on life. Rahab also, interestingly enough, not one of the clan initially, but what becomes important about Rahab, where's she listed? She's listed in the lineage of the Lord, yeah. So you know she was a mom. But she's listed in the lineage of the Lord. And so that's an important issue, as well as so many others. So, Deborah was a prophetess, yeah. We can see throughout all the Bible the impact of women on humanity and the impact of mothers on humanity. And God is using that in many ways in our life and has throughout the years. You know, I was thinking about this as I was praying about what to share, and I was thinking about several women that came to my mind. I was asking myself this same question I just asked you. So, Lord, who are the influential women, godly mothers in the Bibles? In the Bible, in one Bible. And who are these women? One of the first ones that came to my mind might not be one that came to your mind. It wasn't listed here. It was Jochebed. Anybody know who Jochebed is?
Yeah, Moses.
Moses' mother.
Samuel.
Yeah, Samuel's mother is another one. So we'll come back to that. That's Hannah. That was who I thought that Rita had mentioned a long ago. I'm going to talk about her in a second. Let's think about Moses' mother for just a second. Think about what this lady did. Okay? I mean, they're in a time frame where the people of Israel are being, you know, punished, afflicted by the Egyptians. They're in prison, essentially. They're being, you know, used as slaves. Then there's an edict that goes out to slaughter the firstborn because they're becoming greater than the nation that they are slaves to. And so this is one of their population controls. Well, I'm getting ready to chase rabbits. You understand how close we are to this same thing going on today. We just call it abortion. So at any rate, this is what's going on in the people. And Jochebed takes her life at risk to save a little boy that God had plans for. She didn't know that. She was just being a good mom. And she hides her little boy in a basket, puts him in a river. You can read all about this in Exodus. By the way, lest you think I'm preaching without spelling out a text today, I'm referencing several texts. So I'm preaching out of the Bible today, but I'm not going to have a lot of verses on the screen. Just want you to know that up front. So this is in Exodus. And so she goes in there and puts him in the basket, and we understand Pharaoh's daughter finds her. And then she ends up taking care of him in Pharaoh's home, not being able to recognize herself as the mom, lest she would have been no longer able to take care of him. And so she gives a tremendous price. She gives up her son for the sake of his well-being and for the sake of the people of God. And God uses this woman tremendously in the life of Moses. Exactly, yeah. Her sister involved in that whole process. So here we have a mother that expresses to us extreme selflessness without any personal selfishness involved. That's important to me as I come back to a theme here in a little while. So then you find another woman comes to my mind. Was Hannah. Hannah was a young lady who wanted to be a mom. And it wasn't, you know, taking place for her. And so she was praying, and I think about Hannah and what kind of woman she was. Jochebed, I think about as a woman who took tremendous risk for the well-being of her child and ended up being the savior of the nation, the child did, by the plan of God. So here's Hannah, who is a praying woman. I think a praying woman well before the days of wanting to be a mother. You don't overnight become the kind of prayer warrior she is, such that Eli comes in and thinks she's drunk. She's so focusing on her communication with the Lord and consumed with his presence. So in the context of that, we see a lady praying for the role of motherhood, and God chooses to place her in that role of motherhood. And in the process of that, she realizes God's saying to her, if I do this, you're going to have to give him to me. See, I don't know. This is thus says Chris, not the Lord, okay? I do this sometimes. You know, when I make that phrase, that means I can't prove what I'm about to say, but I think it's true or I wouldn't say it, okay? I think Hannah gets the impression from the Lord that if he gives her the child, you got to give him to me before she says, God, if you give me the child, I'll give him to you. I think she settles that issue before she's praying that. I think she gets that impression ahead of time. It makes sense to me in the context of everything that that's the way it took place. Really irrelevant. That's just a little extra thing. But anyway, that's what takes place. She decides, Lord, if you give me this child, I'm going to give him to you. And he's going to be serving you all the days of his life in the temple. A few years later, the Lord's going to say, all right, did you really mean that? And she takes Samuel up to the temple, and she gives Samuel to Eli to raise in the temple. And she gets to come back and forth, but typically people weren't living next door to the temple. It was long, long distances. And we know that she went to see him at least annually. That's the way the custom was of the day. She may have seen him more often than that. Pardon? Yeah, yeah. So she was involved in his life and caring for him in that respect. But tremendous sacrifice. Didn't get to see him every day at home at the breakfast table, you know. But this was the thing God had called her to do as a mom. And so again, I see in Hannah, not for her own personal gain in any respect, because the other would be the case. Her personal gain would be there with her. But for God's glory, tremendous selflessness, tremendous unselfishness, but so far beyond unselfishness, selflessness, to give up her child for the serving of the King of Kings. Not I'm talking about a king of the land, the King of Kings. And then another person. So I'm still thinking, Lord, okay, what about these women? Who are the people? Now, I know there's many more. I'm not saying these are the best, okay? Y'all are probably the best. But I'm just referencing women as mothers who impacts us from Scripture. Another one comes to my mind is the daughter-in-law of Naomi that was mentioned. Somebody mentioned, who mentioned Naomi? Yeah, great. And so Ruth was the daughter-in-law of Naomi. If you know the story, Naomi's husband passed. So too did her daughter-in-law's husbands, her own kids, her sons. And so her daughter-in-laws, she said, going back home to your family, that's normal. We want you to be with them. But Naomi had so impacted Ruth that Ruth felt, I need to be with Naomi. And so Ruth leaves everything, goes with Naomi, goes to a land she doesn't know, and meets a guy named Boaz. The two of them end up married by the miraculous plan of God, and they have a child whose name is, does anybody know? Well, Jesse's the son, Obed. Obed. Boaz marries Ruth. They have Obed. Obed's the father of Jesse, who is the father of who?
David,
who everybody knows. And so here again, God's at work. He's doing things. We don't think, so many times we think God has forgotten about stuff. God is, I want you to know something. He is always up to something. There is never a time that God is not up to something. He knows what he's doing. He's orchestrating. He's working things out for the glory of his plan. And so here's Ruth now in the role of being the great grandmother of David. But here again, I see something in this woman. This is what stood out to me as the Lord was putting these three on my mind. This is what stood out to me. In each one of these women, I see tremendous selflessness. Tremendous personally, willingly offering sacrificially the loss of their will for the greater good. So you saw that in Jochebed, giving up Moses. You saw that in Hannah, giving up Samuel. You see that in Ruth, leaving her family to go be with Naomi, and then obviously ending up having Obed. And so you see this character trait. And this got sparked in me in a couple of ways. One of the things, you know, I was blessed yesterday. I'm taking a deep breath because I don't want to get emotional, but I was blessed yesterday. To watch my kids fulfill Scripture. And there's a verse of Scripture that says that for a woman in her life to be blessed would be to see her children rise up and call her blessed. My wife got to experience that yesterday. And I sat there and I cried. Not just because of the nice things they were seeing about Connie. I already knew that. I've been living with that for 35 years. What I was crying over was that verse of Scripture that was ringing in my head as I was listening. Her children will rise up and call her blessed. And I was just thanking the Lord. And one of the things that came out of that from one of the kids as they rose up and called her blessed was that she had a character trait, not of unselfishness. Connie, I'm sorry. I know I'm in trouble later for this. I know I am. She does not like to be in the limelight. But not that she had a great character trait of unselfishness, which she does, but there was a clear definition of the difference between unselfishness and self-forgetfulness, which is the same as selflessness, which is the character trait of a true disciple. Jesus said, if you want to be my disciple, you must take up your cross daily, which is the image of death for yourself. You must take up your cross daily and follow me. You must be selfless. You must be dead to self daily and follow me. And that's the character trait. It was interesting to me as I was praying through all this that came to my mind as I was talking about these other women, that God had brought these three women in the Bible to my mind and their role among the history of humanity, and the character trait that was jumping out of my mind was their selflessness, and that's the character trait that was mentioned there as well, and then that's the character trait that God will call for us as disciples. And then I thought about another woman that relates to as many women as would have it be. It doesn't have to be a mother, but the virtuous woman character trait that you see in Proverbs 31, and so many characters, and that was touched on here a little while ago, and that you see them being, again, the person who is a selfless person. And the last two verses of that, I want to read those to you. If I can get my Bible open to the right place. It's verse 29 and 30. I believe that's correct. 31, 30 and 31. Favor is deceitful, beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. And that this woman, the interesting thing to me is this. Whoever this woman is that caused Solomon to say such a thing, that this is a virtuous woman. Whoever that woman is could possibly have been his mother. Could have been Bathsheba, unless you have the only memory in your mind of Bathsheba is the mistake of her life. You know, it could be that God used her dramatically beyond that after the mistake of her life. Anybody in here hoping that's what's happening in your life?
Yeah.
That'd be me. You know? So very possible God had used her in the turning of her life toward the heart of God to influence Solomon in some of the respects of the things that he would see would be good character traits in the life of a virtuous woman. That's That's a thus says Chris, not the Lord, okay? I don't know that for sure, but it makes sense to me. And so here again, possibly a godly woman or a woman having an impact on another. And another place he says that the children should rise up and call them blessed. I thought about that, you know, I thought, man, God, you're up to stuff all the time in the people that you put in our lives. But certainly as it relates to your great wisdom, as it relates to mothers in our lives, and then for those of you who are mothers, let me just say to you again what an impact you have on lives around you, lest you not, you know, think of that often. But let me go a step further, because we're in an interesting time in our life, Connie and I. And as I think is the case for most women, Connie's going through a challenge because she don't have baby on her hips anymore. Got grandkids, but it's not every day, you know, and it's not the constant nurturing opportunity that she's been walking in for 30 years. And so we have a lot of conversations about this. And this, as I was praying through this, this hit my mind. What about these three women that you put on my heart? What happened to them after they quit raising kids? When Moses was no longer needing Jochebed's, you know, nursing and caregiving in the house of the Egyptian king. When Hannah was no longer needing to make robes or, you know, go to see Samuel when she could. When Ruth was no longer raising Obed, were they still useful? Did they still have an impact? Did they still make a difference in the lives of people around them? And so I started thinking through that whole process, and a few thoughts came to my mind, and I thought about the impact that Jochebed must have had on an entire nation leaving Egypt and them being aware of the impact she had had on Moses and the role that she must have played among that group of people as one of the godly ones among them, as one of the faithful ones among them. And we all have people like that in our life, right? Now, I don't want to embarrass another person, but I call them the Miss Billies of my life. But we all have those people that God is continually influencing us with in a motherly, nurturing way by just being who they are. And I think Jochebed had that role among Israel till the end of her days. And then I think about Hannah. What was she before she had Samuel? I already told you what I think. I think she's a prayer warrior. I think she was giving her heart to communication with the Lord and knew something about that. And I think that's why Eli recognized her in communication, because she was pouring her heart out to the Lord in this particular issue about child rearing. And I believe that she was without a doubt a prayer warrior to the end of her days, continuing to be faithful in serving the Lord in that which he had made her to be. And so I would say to all of you ladies who are repressing those thoughts that I know you go through, just like my wife is going through, that wonder, do you still have the impact? Do you still have the role? Do you still have the position of influence that you had throughout the years as a mother? And I would say to you, absolutely you do. Amen. And you need to continue to walk that out in faithfulness to the glory of God and be who God made you to be. I almost made the mistake today and showed a clip of a Mother's Day thought that I showed last year. I thought, man, this is good. I mean, I need to show this. And then I thought, wait a minute, I think I showed this last year. But it's that, you know, it's that clip of the Mom's Night Out show and the lady sitting there talking to, who's that country singer, the big as a moose kind of guy? Yeah, Chase Atkins. and she's fretting over all the stuff that she's messed up in and can't seem to do it right for everybody and always coming up short and all this kind of stuff. And he said, man, don't you get tired of beating yourself up?
You can't show it again. That was a good one.
Yeah, no, it was a good one, man. It was probably still on the computer back there. But at any rate, he eventually sums it all up in this respect. And he says, don't you know you just need to be who you are? And by just being who you are, you're impacting the world the way God meant you to be.
Amen.
And he summed it up in this kind of this phrase. He said, I doubt very seriously God made a mistake in choosing you to be the mother of your children. I doubt very seriously God made a mistake doing that. And I would say that to those of you that have been mothers and have had a motherly influence on many people. That's another interesting thought that comes to my mind. Mothers are not just about whether you gave birth or not, right? I mean, I've had about 6 mothers in my life. You know, I could name them all to you. I mean, Miss Billy has been in that role in some respect for me. Helen Colvert was a lady who was like a mother to me. My grandmother, probably more my mother than my mother. You know, I mean, I could go on. A lady named May Upchurch, I lived in her home for a while, was like a mother to me. So, you know, we have those people. You don't have to be somebody's mother to be their mother. Isn't that kind of weird? You have that influence, that impact, that position on people's lives. So after you're done raising kids, is it over? No, it's not over. It's not over. You're still useful to the master unto every good work. That's right. As long as you're drawing a breath, you're useful to him. I want to point out one more character trait that I think is huge in the life of mothers. And I'm going to do this as briefly as I can. I could preach a whole message on this one. How many of y'all remember the story of the Shunammite woman? You know, and she... The scripture says she was a great woman in her country, whatever that means. That's pretty cool. You know, we don't really get that defined by anybody, what that is. We know she was a well-to-do lady. This is all in 2 Kings chapter 4, if you need a Bible reference there. And so, you know, Elijah's going through the land. She recognizes him as a man of God. Well, how that happens, we don't really know. But she recognizes him as such, probably, you know, had seen him at doing what he does. And so she decides to invite him in for a meal, not asking for anything from him. You know, tells her husband after a while, more than just offering a meal now and then, he's coming through. She says, you know, we need to put up a little room for this guy. You know, I like this lady. taking care of the man of God. And so she puts up this room for him. And Elijah is praying for him and says, you know, I need to do something for this lady. So he tells his servant, go ask the lady to come to the door. She comes to the door and says, what can I do for you? Here's what she says. Up-to-date Chris Reber interpretation. It's all good. Or in today's words, I'm good. That's where everybody says it. No, I'm good. And so essentially she says, hey, I dwell among my own people. That's what she says. But basically she's saying, I don't need anything. You know, I'm just doing what I feel like I need to do. He said, no, I need to do something for you. And Elijah's servant says, hey, she don't have any kids. And Elijah says, you're going to have a kid. She said, hey, don't mess with me. And that's what she says. Go read it. She says, don't mess with me like that. Don't you say that. That's going to be too painful for me to hear you say that and that not happen. He says, it's going to happen. And it does. Boy grows up out in the field helping his dad. Falls, hits his head on a rock, take him to the house, sits him in the lap of his mom, the Shunammite woman, that's all we know her name is, sits him in the lap of her mom, and she sees him die in her lap. Think about this lady, what she was made out of. You know, you think about what, that's what we say a lot of times about people, I wonder what they're made out of. Think about what this lady's made out of. First of all, taking care of the guy just because felt led of the Lord to do it. I don't need anything. We're going to give you this. Oh, don't you mess with me. Okay, it happens. She's thankful to the Lord. You know she must be. Now the boy dies in her lap. She takes the boy upstairs, sets him in the bed, goes to her husband, says, hey, give me an animal, take a trip. I need to go see that man of God. Evidently, he's not too far away. By tradition, I was reading some Jewish history. By tradition, the belief was that Elijah just kind of traveled between caves and mountains in the region. It wasn't like he was way far off. It wasn't like she had to travel for days to go find him, okay? So anyway, she asked her husband for, you know, some transportation, go see the man of God. He said, what's up? Is everything okay? Is the house okay? Is the boy okay? She said, everything's fine. Really? Yeah, she said, I'm good. It's all good. Okay. Well, yeah, take this buggy and go see him if you want to go see him. She takes off. She goes to see him. The servant and Elijah see her coming from a distance off, and Elijah says, go check out ahead of time. Ask her if everything's all right. Because why would she be coming to see me? And he goes out and sees her and says, hey, what are you coming to see Elijah for? And she said, oh, everything's good. Because he asked her the same thing. Is everything good at home? Oh, yeah, I'm good. It's all good. Then gets to Elijah and says, it's not all good. Elijah says, something's going on here. The Lord's withheld it from me. What's going on? She said, well, my boy died. He said, okay, I'm going to send my servant. He'll take my staff. He'll lay it on his body. He'll be fine. She's like, uh-uh. I told you don't mess with me. can you hear it in real life? I mean, maybe it was like that. Hey, Elijah, you remember when you said you're going to have a kid? I told you then, nuh-uh, don't you mess with me like that. He's not okay, and you're coming with me. And I'm not going anywhere away from where you are. And Elijah, they both go. You know, actually, the story is the servant does go ahead of Elijah, lays the staff, nothing happens, but she's with Elijah. Elijah's on the way. Elijah goes on up. Elijah spreads his body out on the boy's body, and the boy comes to life. We don't know what happened to that boy the rest of his life. An interesting story. If you read some, what's the word? Begins with an M. Mishaka or something like that. There's a Hebrew word for all the Jewish writings about the Bible. Midrash, that's it. And so he's reading the notes. That's what Johnny's talking about. There's notes in the Bible. So anyway, the notes in the Bible, or the notes about the Bible by the Jewish people, say that there was a guy later in 2 Kings 13 that dies, and he's close to Elijah's grave, if you've ever read that story, and people are coming on to attack him, and they throw him in Elijah's grave instead of digging a grave for him because they're in a hurry. And when his body hits Elijah's bones, he comes back to life. Some Jewish writers believe that was the boy of the Shunammite woman. Now that's a thus says they, not the Lord. We don't know that. But it's kind of an interesting story, isn't it? So here's this boy comes back to life, and so now I think about that woman. What's that woman's life all about? Look at the faith of that. I mean, from beginning to end. She just believed God, period. You know? Now, does that mean that if you pray for, you know, someone to come back to life and they don't, that you don't believe God? I don't believe it works that way, okay? How I believe it works is when you know you hear God, here's the proof. Happens. Okay? In that case, she heard God, and she had faith to believe that was God, and God worked through her life. Now, I've had many times I've seen God do that, and I've had many times I thought I heard God, and I didn't. That doesn't bother me. Some people, it drives them nuts. It doesn't bother me. I'm just going to do what God says to do and say what God says to say and walk in that the best I can. But where I'm at with this whole story, again, is the impact. Can you imagine that boy's life and the impact of that mom on his life? And can you imagine the stories around that part of town of the impact of this lady and her life? And can you imagine for a moment, let's go back to just the woman in each one of these cases. What was so unique about each one of them? I would say this. Each one of them was just being who they are. They're just being who they are. Jochebed was just being Moses' mom. That's what a mom does. Hannah was just being the praying lady that she was and felt God trusting her to pray for that issue. Ruth was walking away from everything that she knew already. This was the life that she lived. And so she was happy to pour that life concept into Obed, who must have poured it into Jesse, who must have poured it into a boy who learned how to really love God, didn't he? And realized nothing else in life really matters. Somehow she impacted it. And the Shunammite woman, she just being who she was. She had lived a life of faith, I think, consistently before she met Elijah. That's why it was no big deal for her to give whatever she had away. You know, what do you mean build a room on the back of our house for a man we don't even really know? It was no big deal for her because it wasn't her stuff. She just lived in faith. And that came out in the way that she lived her life. So what's the moral of the story for us today? You know, moms have a great impact on lives, but this affects all of us, right? That we have the greatest impact in our life, I think, when we just try to be who we are. Who God made us to be. Now, let me carefully state that. When I talk about being who you are, I'm talking about being who you are as God made you to be. I'm not talking about being who you are with all the trash and baggage that you've added to your life through sinfulness. I'm talking about being who you are as God made you to be. See, I think you'll find out that if you take five of us and stand us up in a room, none of us are identical. And I'm talking about internally. I'm not talking about externally. We're different from the stuff that's come into our life and the way it's affected us. That's what God has made us to be through that. He's used that. And so in the context of that, we should be who God made us to be. Now, the whole thing that how we've messed our own lives up, we need to go to God and ask God to just help us see that get repaired. You know, so that we can be who God made us to be. So today, as you think about your moms, you know, this is what God put on my heart early this morning. A lot of times y'all have heard me talk about some of the negative effects of my mother in my life. But there was positive things too. And so today, if you've got some historical baggage there, try to hang on to some positive things. Try to hang on to some positive things. How God used that woman in your life. And then let me just say that to you as we listen to the Holy Spirit speak to us today. As God has made you who you are, be who God made you to be to impact the life of that one that's around you, that's looking at you, that's connected to you in some way. And let God's best out of you be a blessing to them. And be assured of this. When you make a mistake, and you will. I'm not trying to speak anything bad on you. I just know how humanity works. You're breathing, she said. And trust God to forgive you and to deal with things and move on and be an impact to the glory of God. That's what God's after for us today. What a great day God gives us to think about the simple, normal, day-to-day things in life. Have tremendous impacts. Because the reality is that motherhood is a simple, normal, day-to-day thing in life, right? It has so many things in life for it. But God's using those things tremendously in our lives. Let's pray together. Father, I understand that a lot of what's going on today is